Okay, so let's do a test run. This is Alan. Adam, fire away,
This
buddy.
is Adam.
Okay,
And
wait till
this
I.
is Don,
Adam.
and I'm talking.
Adam, wait till I stop talking.
Okay.
Now go.
This is Adam.
Thanks for phoning it in. Welcome to episode 87 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada. With me, as always,
Is Adam.
Adam. Okay, once again with enthusiasm.
I just thought your introduction of yourself was very phony, so I decided to keep it real.
Hello, and welcome to episode 87 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan.
And my name is Adam.
And with us is
Don, along for the ride.
All the way from
Barrie, Ontario.
I thought it was Toronto.
No, it's Barrie.
Is it? All right, Barrie.
The Barrie sign, remember?
Oh, that Dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was. This was Tony Orlando and Dawn.
Oh, no, it's not.
Taya Yellow, okay, you know it. What's going on, Dawn?
Oh, not too much. Not teaching at the moment, starting up again when I get back from the Yukon trip, which is coming up in less than 2 weeks. So doing a lot of prep work for that and getting, I don't really know what to say. It's crazy over here. Just crazy.
Okay. That's the end?
That's the end.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I meant what's up with me.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So now it's just awkward.
Yeah.
But,
well, no, carry on then, Alan.
I see you popping up all over the place. You've been on a couple of guests. Are you like a regular contributor on the This Week in Photography?
They've had me on a couple of episodes recently, and I've been thrilled to be a part of that group. So TWIP, I don't have the episode numbers offhand, but the last one I was on, we talked about the Curiosity Rover and all sorts of other fun stuff. And give them a listen. Go look up TWIP. And if you haven't subscribed to them, do so, assuming that you're already subscribed to the Two Hosers, and we already have your attention there. So
we're fine with that, yeah. So I've heard that actually your episodes are the highest rated episodes they have.
And who told you that?
Adam.
A source for great information.
Yeah. I don't know if you work with the web people over there, Adam. I don't know how you'd know being a physiotherapist, but
yeah.
So we got lots of feedback thus far with our Panorama software episode.
Really?
Well, we did an episode last week on panoramas.
How did we get feedback already? We did that like 2 days ago.
Yeah, but it's the internet, Adam.
Oh.
Everything moves at the speed of sound.
People like panoramas?
Yeah, speed of light.
Speed of panoramas.
That was a geek test, Adam.
Oh.
Not a geek. So yeah, we got someone already sent this, Robert the Bold. Remember we talked about Robert from Scotland?
Yep.
So I forget what his name was, Robert the something?
Yep.
I put bold because I couldn't think of anything.
Yeah.
He sent in a shot of Edinburgh on the only sunny day they had. I didn't include it here.
Okay.
Because... You know,
yeah.
I'll send it to you later.
Okay.
We had some software suggestions.
Okay, let's hear them.
Glenn recommends a program, the program that comes on the CD with the camera.
Okay, I've never used my CD.
Yeah, but it comes with the EOS software.
Right.
Comes with something.
Yeah, like a photo stitch something.
Sure. Don, have you ever used that?
I have. I've tried a lot of different panorama software, and the Photo Stitch software has worked pretty good. I've also used, I don't know what you covered in your episode. I've been
pretty
slacking.
Little.
I haven't listened. But I also use quite often Microsoft's Image Composite Editor.
Okay.
And it's a free tool that that usually works when Photoshop fails for me, and Photoshop is the other one that I use.
Right. We talked about the only one that we use, and that's...
Photoshop Elements.
Photoshop Elements has one called Photo Merge built in.
Yep.
And that's it's worked great for me. And if it's not broke, don't fix it, is how I figure that.
I agree.
But I will try that. I'd like to try out the one that comes with the Canon disc, but it's on my top shelf, and I'm not going to reach all the way up there to get it.
You might pull something.
Yeah, I know a physiotherapist. We're all fine there.
Yeah.
So that's one suggestion. Tim recommends Panorama Factory by Smoke Design. You ever heard of that?
No.
Adam.
It's a good name for a panorama program.
I just wish I'd come up with the name. Like, I wish my actual name was Smoke Design.
I wish mine was Panorama Factory.
That would be awesome. We probably have a lawsuit on our hands. That one's around $80, Tim says, but he loves it. He says it seems to be a lot more full-featured than the free versions.
Right.
And then lastly, John recommends a free program called AutoStitch, which I assume is just for car photos.
I've got that on my iPhone, actually, and it's not for cars. But I don't know if they have a desktop version, but I've got it on my iPhone and my iPad, and that works very well.
Okay. So those are some we talked about last week technique. Because on our show, we try to focus on technique versus specific gear, because I don't care if you shoot with an Olympus, a Canon, Nikon, doesn't matter, or what you edit with. It's all about how you do it, and so we don't want to get too specific into all the different options. So we welcome everybody to send in what they use, and hopefully people will find out what they're comfortable with. So, Adam.
Yes?
I wanted to bring something up, and I wanted you to have some backup.
What do you mean?
I didn't want to ambush you with no one around.
Okay.
So, Don, I have a simple question for you, and I want an honest answer.
No.
When you and your wife are going to go somewhere together in a car, do you have a car?
Yes, I do.
Okay. If you're going to go somewhere together in the car, who drives?
Typically, I do.
Okay. Why is that? Is it because you're a man?
Well, there's that. Depending on who's driving, I can get a little nauseous. I get car sick very easily, so if I'm in the driver's seat, that doesn't happen.
So it's not because you're a raging sexist like Al?
I wouldn't say raging sexist, just sexist.
I'll leave that to Al.
It just so happens my wife is an excellent driver.
But that's not the point, though, is it?
No, it's the point.
I'm an excellent driver. My wife's German, so guess what? She could qualify in the Indy. Okay, she's an excellent driver.
Okay.
I still do 99% of the together driving.
I do not. Yeah. I say I do most of the trip driving, the long haul driving, the short in-town driving. Usually I let her drive. And let me say, part of that is because I drive about 45, 50 minutes each way to work every day. I just don't feel like driving when it's in town.
Great.
So there's that.
Okay, well, I feel like we're at loggerheads here because, you know, I've always kind of felt like, I don't know, it's not a sexist thing. It's not like I don't know.
No, it's a sexist thing. It's absolutely a sexist thing, and don't even try to tiptoe your way around it not being a sexist thing.
Wow. I'm not saying that I'm a better driver than my wife.
No, you're saying you're a better driver than women.
I'm probably... I just like, sometimes you have to do the math. I've talked to all my friends and it's the math is like, what's the over under on number of beers?
Of beers?
Yeah. Like most of my friends that I know besides you, it's like, it's 3.5 is the number of beers where it's like, okay, if I have four, my wife drives. If I have three, I drive.
Oh, okay. So that's safe.
I don't know. That's just what
I'd really like to hear the feedback on all of these comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I am the nice non-sexist guy, and you are the sexist medieval guy.
Or I'm the manly provider, and I look out for my wife, my wife's well-being. I'm protector.
Are you the manly provider?
Ish. Who do you think has more back hair, me or her? Guess what? It's a push. Yeah. Okay, that's a spoiler alert.
All right.
I got my 70 to 200 back today from the shop.
Does it work?
Yes.
So you're happy?
I feel whole again.
What was the price tag after it was all said and done?
Don, you recently had a lens fixed, didn't you?
I did, my 24 to 105. And it had a problem where it would work perfectly at 24 millimeters, and then it would break as soon as you went beyond, I think, 28 millimeters or so. That would just completely stop working.
I had that problem with my 17 to 85, and I fixed it by using it as a bookend. So that's what I use that for. But my 70 to 200, the USM motor went, the focusing motor.
Oh, no.
So what did yours cost to fix?
$204.30.
Oh, I'm going to one-up you. Mine was $275.
Ouch.
Oh, you win.
I don't think I win.
Is that with tax? They charge tax on top of that.
Yeah, that's including tax.
Okay.
On the bill that came back, Alan, what did they say they actually did? What was replaced? What did they fix?
They actually replaced the USM motor.
Okay.
So they ordered that from Canon, and then apparently rolled it in pixie dust and some gold. I think it's gold plated now. And then once they were done laughing, it was $275, $274 or something like that. But it's all good now, and I feel good about it.
Great.
So,
good. You know, the ridiculous thing about these repairs is, okay, for you, they had to replace a motor. For me, the issue is it's something that still bothers me. It's a little tiny ribbon cable that wears out as the lens zooms in and out over a few years.
Yes.
And that tiny ribbon cable cannot be replaced. You have to buy the entire aperture assembly unit for the lens.
Right.
That has this tiny little ribbon cable attached to it.
That's what I ran into with my 17-85. It's the exact same thing. It's a little ribbon. And to replace that lens, if you buy one used, it's about $300, probably cheaper, maybe $250 if you're lucky. And so ultimately I decided, get rid of that.
Oh, exactly.
But the 24-105 that you have...
It's a bit more of a pricey lens. I mean, you could probably get one brand new for under $1,000, but the used market, there's quite a few of them there. It's a kit lens for the 5D and the 5D Mark II and that stuff. So there's a fair amount of them out there, but it still didn't make sense for me to just scrap the lens because it's an L series lens, and I use it 90% of the time. So it made sense for me to go and foot the bill to get it fixed, and hopefully that this doesn't happen again. But I'm weary about it, though, because if it wore out once, it can happen again just as easily.
Absolutely. And what it sort of scares me now is this has kind of turned me off of buying used lenses. Because if something like this could go, like if that ribbon could go, then what if someone's, you know, Joe Zoom and has worn that one out?
Yeah, you get it. And basically your price tag, you save $200 from a new lens, but 6 months later you're buying a new ribbon. So you're not really getting a new lens, right?
Right.
For the same cost.
That's right.
I like buying new.
I also like buying new for that reason.
I just bought a new 24mm f1.4 lens as well, so I'm quite happy with that.
And how's that working for you?
Fantastic. I used it for a lot of night shots recently. In fact, a slight spoiler alert, the photo that I submitted was taken with that lens.
Nice. Can't wait to hear about that. And what does that set you back? What do those cost?
I'm going to guess around $1,500 or so.
Awesome.
I can't remember what I paid with the shipping and everything, but about that.
Nice. Great. So what'd you guys shoot this week?
I'm not going to say anything because we did our last podcast 2 days ago, and so I've shot nothing but my panorama shot. The end.
Okay, why don't you go sit on the couch while Don and I carry the rest of
this. You couldn't have shot that much because you also podcasted a day and a half ago.
In all honesty, I've actually... I'm not saying this to make you look bad. You're doing fine on your own.
Oh, I have a job. So.
Yeah, you have a job, and I'm on vacation from life. So I actually, in all honesty, it just works out this way. I have shot an awful lot of pictures. I probably shot 400-plus pictures since then.
Since yesterday, or since Sunday night.
Yeah, at least. But let's start with Don.
Well, I was up at the cottage this past week and did a lot of night shooting. Did a time-lapse video, actually, of the night sky with the clouds rolling in and the stars moving, and it turned out fantastic. Haven't shown it to anybody yet, though, so that's going to be coming up soon.
Great.
I did some waterfall shooting. There's some waterfalls around there, some sunrise shots, and basically didn't sleep a whole lot, staying up until 2 and getting up at 6 and then finding a time for a nap in the afternoon because I was on vacation.
Right.
But it was just a lot of nature and landscape kind of stuff, and you know, that's the kind of stuff that I love to do, and it turned out really well.
And did you shoot any star trails up there?
I did, yes.
Okay, don't get into that. We're going to have an episode all about that.
Oh, it's going to be a fun episode, too. I try to do them whenever I can, and on the Yukon trip that I'm planning, I'm going to do quite a few of those. I had a chance to test drive Canon's 8-15mm fisheye lens over the past week.
Okay.
And I got to say, that's a fun lens to use, but it's nauseating if you use it wrong.
Okay. When you use a lens like that, which end do you use it at mostly?
Well, it depends, because if you're on a full-frame camera, at 8 millimeters, it's going to be a circular fisheye. So your image that appears on the sensor is a full circle. And if you're shooting at 15, then it's going to fill the frame from all the corners, and it's going to be like the 15 millimeter fisheye lens that I have, just the prime one. Mm-hmm. And so different purposes depending on what you're shooting. I tried it with a Star Trail, and again, we'll get into that in a future episode, but it worked out fantastic.
Great. That's the last time I'm going to say great this episode.
Yeah, you said it a few times.
Yeah, that's the final one.
Okay.
So from now on, everything is terrible.
Good. No,
terrible.
Good.
And fair to middling on this one.
Mediocre.
Great. Well, the reason I shot so much is I've been at Stanley Park 2 days in a row now.
Why?
It's awesome.
Yeah, but if you did you miss something? Is it like Disneyland where you had to come back for the roller coaster or something?
No.
No.
No, no, no. It went to two different parks. Stanley Park is very large.
It is.
Yeah. And so I recommend to anybody who's coming to our fair city, visit Stanley Park. It's a fantastic place. There's trails. We walked some trails today. Went to Beaver Lake. Spoiler alert, no beavers there. A lot of lily pads.
Some nice views of the city, too, from Stanley Park.
There's some great views of the city if you walk around the seawall, because it has a seawall all the way around it. So if you want to do that. So yesterday we went down there, walked the seawall, went swimming in the ocean. And today we stuck to the inland part, went walked some trails, went to the train.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the little train. Yeah. They have it set up in sort of a native village theme now.
Yeah, we do it as a Christmas train every year. It's
right.
A Christmas train.
I think it's much more reasonably priced in the summer, because today it was $5 all you can ride. And then, so we did that because my daughter had never been on that before, and she loved it. We went a couple times in a row because she loved it so much. So I highly recommend that. So that's a lot. But the whole point was, is today, yesterday was cloudy and then sunny, and today was sort of overcast. And so I shot a bunch, and then my wife shot a bunch. And we had it on manual setting, and you know the train would go in, it'd be light, and then it'd kind of go in the trees a little bit. So just when my daughter would look up, she'd fire off a shot. Well, we'd be in the trees at that point, and so we got a lot of black pictures.
Mm-hmm.
So just watching my wife struggle with the camera reminded me of why we do the show.
Okay, maybe she should listen.
Yeah, that's good luck with that.
What day had the better pictures?
Better pictures. I shot my panorama yesterday, so that one was better. I got to tell you, the scenery yesterday was better because we're on the ocean, and I love the ocean. I love shooting down there, and there was a right amount of overcast. Even when it was sunny, there was still a bit of a haze, so it kind of evened things out. But then today was better for people pictures because the expression on my daughter's face when she rode the train for the first time is basically boring every listener we have. Wow. I feel like you sucked me into that one, Don.
Yeah. This is
well, there you go.
The Photography Kid Show.
Wow.
And parenting all rolled into one.
Oh boy, is my kid great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Enough of that. But for people pictures today, for scenery yesterday. That's the short answer. Photo challenge, Adam.
Yes.
You did it, man, in only 2 days.
No. I worked from 9 till 9 yesterday. I did this in an hour I had between getting home from work today and getting back to the house for dinner. So this is the overcast that you were previously speaking of. I went down to one of my favorite spots, Gary Point Park, where I've taken numerous pictures. Actually, the moonlight/starlight picture from a couple of challenges back was taken in this same spot.
Starlight.
Yes, starlight.
There's no moonlight.
It was supposed to be a moonlight.
Yeah. Sure.
So here's basically a wide angle of the same spot on an overcast at about 4:30 this afternoon. So I took about, I want to say ballpark between 50 and 60 pictures in the manner we described on the last episode where I was shooting kind of, I guess, vertically in the vertical orientation or portrait orientation. And I sort of scanned the scene in three rows and this is what I got.
Okay.
So
which lens did you shoot with?
This is with a 30 millimeter.
On a crop sensor.
On a crop sensor, yeah.
Okay.
So there you have it. Not the most spectacular day for shooting this panorama. Wish the colors were different, but just, again, playing the hand I was dealt.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it.
Did you get any tears in the camera? Because that was a sob story you laid on us about working.
Yeah, no, I have to work.
Yeah.
So when you make a challenge Sunday night and want a podcast on Tuesday and I work almost every minute between the two, it's hard for me to do a fantastic job. So qualify your remarks accordingly.
Okay, Don, be careful not to hurt his feelings.
All right.
I can take it.
I don't want to hurt your feelings.
I can
and
take
it's,
it.
It's, it's hard for me to hurt your feelings if I haven't seen the image yet.
All right. Would you like me to send that one to you?
That'd be great.
Hey, Alan. Did I send you mine?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't we just, Adam, why don't you bebop and scat a little bit while
I
fire these off?
Why don't we just, like, call this the making of a podcast, episode 87?
Oh, yeah, no. Everyone loves to see the behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you gotta keep talking.
Sorry. Should I give a commentary of the fact that you're now about to send Don an email?
Yeah, no, I'm sending it now. So this should cut out the audio while we do this, because the bandwidth here. Okay, now, okay, just for the listeners at home, we're at 25% sent. Okay.
Here she comes.
Suspense is building.
33. Well, let me go ahead and spoil. I like your picture's good, man.
Yeah, you have to say that because you screwed me on the last second challenge. So go out and take a great photo challenge in half an hour on a cloudy day.
Uh-huh. I said that I would not phone it in. I never said that you couldn't phone it in.
I didn't phone it in. I tried. Wow. I didn't have much to work with.
Wow. No, it's good. There, I do see one little blip. That's not really your fault. It looks like a blip. See that right there?
No.
Looks like a little blip in the horizon. But other than that, it's good. You did what we talked about. You shot in manual exposure. Some of the sky is overexposed, but what are you going to do? I mean, if you didn't overexpose, then the foreground would be underexposed.
Yeah.
So you're in a tough spot there. I have no problem with that.
First effort, I did like how relatively easy that merging 60 pictures together could be.
Yeah.
So I thought it was going to be more difficult than it actually was. I did sort of import them into Aperture the way we talked about, made the one adjustment on one photo and then copied it across to all the pictures to get it in the ballpark I wanted. Didn't really actually tweak much. And then exported it to a folder, brought it into Photoshop, and it did use the merge program. And it did the rest. The computer did the rest.
It does a great job of that. Now, I mean, in retrospect, I might have tilted the picture a little bit to make the horizon level. But that's really nitpicking at this point.
I was trying to get the logs in. See, yes. Like basically where I ran out of pixels in certain areas, I cropped it. I tried to make that as wide as possible to get the logs because I liked the shape of the logs around and I didn't want to have any of that cropped out. And really there was no wiggle room because I had missed some pixels somewhere else. So that's basically what I wanted. So that's the way it had to look.
Okay, Don, check your mailbox. Did you get these images?
Yeah, I got it here. I got it. And I'm looking at it right now. And right. And I agree with what you were saying, Alan, that the horizon's a little bit crooked. But, I mean, beyond that, the only reason why I would mention it is the same as you, because there's nothing really to pick at in this photograph. I like the logs in the foreground. They add a certain depth and how it sort of bends the coastline. And you can sort of look from sort of the foreground outward a little bit.
And if you've been down here, you'd know like that is a wide view that you've incorporated there.
And I can't tell that because I've never been there. And looking at this, I can't see exactly that it's that wide, which maybe that's a good thing because there's not a lot of dead space in there.
Good job, Adam.
Great.
See?
Super charged about it.
Even when you phone it in, you're halfway okay.
Yeah. All right. All next. Right.
Let's have a look at mine now. I did a very similar shot. This was down at the beach at Stanley Park at Third Beach where we went and spent the day. And I covered probably an equally wide distance. The only difference here is that the shoreline is actually technically straight in real life, but it's curved here. So who wants to fire away first?
Go ahead, Don.
I love the clouds. And the sky in this one is much more vibrant than in Adams, but
thanks,
I mean,
Don.
You can't really
go
control
ahead.
That too much.
come back, Adam,
I'm looking
come
at yours.
I'm just going to go for a walk.
All right.
Take the camera. Maybe take a good picture while you're out there.
Or 60 good pictures.
All right.
Oh, merge them together later.
All right. Sorry, Don.
Alan, the foreground in your photograph, like all the footprints in the sand and everything, I'm not sure if I might have cropped some of that out because you've got sort of a dead foreground and everything's interesting beyond that. Like the middle ground and the background's beautiful, but the foreground sucks.
I agree.
That's a good point.
Your foreground sucks.
Okay, but can I point out the fact that do you see the on the left hand side? There's like two people sort of sitting in silhouette on the log.
I think so. Yep.
Okay. That's my wife and daughter.
Okay. Why don't we crop out the sides?
Okay, listen, I'm not done telling this awesome story yet. So the silhouette people on that left side, that's my wife and daughter. And you see the people sitting on the right-hand side there in sun?
Yep.
That's my wife and daughter. I don't like to throw around the word genius lightly, but wow, here we are.
Well, way to explain it to us.
Well, no, it would have been better had I lit it, but I'll be honest, I'm on vacation, so I phoned that part in.
Yeah.
Okay, even though I promised I wouldn't. Ideally, I would have had a flash set up there and then filled that in.
Yeah, but you didn't.
Mm-hmm. No.
Now, if you were doing that sort of multiplicity aspect there, Alan, it would have been even better if they were in like the bottom right on that little log that's right there. That would have put more into the foreground for you.
Yeah, but I ended up shooting way too much of the sand footprints and have a dead foreground, so I didn't want to stick them there. So, I mean, looking back, if I get my time machine working, I will do better. Oh, no. This is the final episode, isn't it?
This is how it goes down.
This is it. Okay.
I agree with you, Don. Al's picture blows.
I can't believe none of us have been drinking.
All right, let's look at Don's.
All right, Don. Let's go to the good one.
Now, Don, did you take this in the last 30 minutes like I took mine?
No, I took it, honestly, I took it about 8 days ago, 9 days ago.
Now, first things first, I'm going to go ahead and this, Don, you zigged when we zagged, or the opposite of that. You went up and down, and that's a hot move. It doesn't matter that your photo is awful, it's up and down.
I had something going for me, but that, you know,
just kidding. Not a whole lot. It's actually not awful, it's pretty awesome, and Adam will tell us why it's awesome.
It's very sparkly, and I like sprinkles on donuts, and this reminds me of a sprinkled donut.
Well, hang on, those are stars. I thought that was ISO noise.
Not quite.
I didn't think it was ISO noise, Don.
Didn't you?
No.
No, yeah, there's even a galaxy in there.
That looks great. Is it the Milky Way?
Well, there's that one, but also I think it's right near that. The upper left is some other small galaxy.
So where was this taken?
That was taken at Onaping Lake, and that's about an hour's drive north of Sudbury.
And how did you make it look like this?
Well, there's very little light pollution up in that region. So you can take photographs at very, you know, wide apertures and high ISOs and just brighten the entire sky to well beyond what you can see with your own eyes. And this was a bit of a challenge because the Milky Way, like the top of that frame, is directly over my head. So getting the camera to pan like that on a tripod, the tripods usually don't have a range that can go like straight vertically up because the handles get in the way and that kind of stuff. So the image wasn't like a standard sort of a grid panorama. A lot of the top part, I was actually spinning the camera around to make a almost like a sphere, and then sort of lending that downward towards where the trees are. And then I cropped off all the excess stuff afterwards.
That sounded very confusing.
Yeah, that went over my head, like the picture.
Okay, so you just did a...
I will send you guys, to put in the show notes, a copy of the uncropped version of this so that you can see what I mean.
Okay.
Now, you shot with a tripod. Now, we talked on last show how I don't... It's not part of my raging sexism. I just don't shoot with a tripod normally. And everyone says you must shoot with a tripod when you shoot a panorama. I say you don't have to, but it's nice.
I agree with you. You definitely don't have to. But when you've got a 30-second exposure, you have to.
So these images were 30 seconds.
25 or 30, but yeah, way too long to handheld.
And how many are we looking at?
I think it's 19.
Okay.
But there's a lot of overlap between them.
Okay. That's what we talked about last week, is how much overlap to do. Which lens did you shoot with?
That was with the new toy of mine, the 24 millimeter f1.4, and I believe it's photographed at f1.4 to let as much light in as possible.
Okay, and give us an ISO would be?
That one I think was 6400. I'm not sure. I don't have it in front of me, but it was very, very high.
And still getting those long exposures. Now, I'm getting really far into this. How did you balance the exposure on each of them? Like, because it looks very well evenly exposed across the entire image.
Well, it's not really, because the sky is going to be, you know, pretty even. You have to make sure that if you're doing this kind of shot, you'd be going out after astronomical twilight, which is the time where the sky doesn't get any darker. Mm-hmm. So this was done at like 1 in the morning or something like that. And if you're going out at that time, then the sky is going to be pretty evenly lit. The only thing that I'd have to worry about on this lens is when it's wide open, it does vignette quite a bit. Okay. And that has to be corrected for before I stitch the panorama, or I get like dark blotches showing up in the stars where there shouldn't be.
Right. Because all of a sudden your vignetting is going to show up in the middle of the picture.
Exactly.
All right. Is that Venus I see in the sort of right-hand side?
Probably not.
Oh.
He just wanted to sound smart.
Okay, Mars. I don't care if it's Mars or if it's Venus. It looks good. It looks good to me.
I like it.
All right, well, and how long did this take you to shoot, roughly? I'm doing like 30 seconds per shot, what did you say, 19 shots, you know, so looking at like 20 minutes?
Maybe thereabouts, and I was playing around. I took shots from other angles, too. I was out there for a few hours. The images that are used in this composition were probably, you're right, around 15 to 20 minutes.
Okay.
While he was doing that, I was sleeping.
Yeah.
At 1 a.m.
Well, if we correct for the time.
Then I was still sleeping.
You're sleeping at 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, great story.
Yeah.
This week on Two Hosers. Awesome. Okay, let's get into this week's topic.
Do we
decide on a winner of the photo?
I'll take it.
I'll give it to Adam.
Let's give it to Don since he's the guest.
Okay, Don, you win the honorary Hoser Challenge Award.
That's awesome. What's the prize?
A monthly subscription to the Two Hosers Photo Podcast and a coffee mug of your choice from the Two Hosers Coffee Mug Store.
We haven't got that up yet.
Oh, okay. Soon. Coming soon.
Awesome. I'll look for that in the mail.
I think that will actually come soon because I like coffee and I'm one of the hosers.
Yeah, plus Christmas is right around the corner.
Well, is it?
Yeah, it's like countdown is on, buddy.
You need a bit of a life adjustment.
4 months countdown.
Great. Okay, this week's topic. I'm glad we have Don on for this one because what is this week's topic? Did I tell you?
No, you didn't tell me.
Okay, I'll tell you right now. It is setting goals. Goal setting.
Sounds like a business seminar.
Hang on a second. Should it be setting goals or goal setting?
Goal setting.
Don?
I don't know.
Pick a horse, man. Go with goal setting because it looks
good. I'm going to go with setting goals, actually.
Okay, wrong. Okay.
Do you do this in your photography teaching? Is there a unit on goal setting?
Not specifically. However, you know, it's interesting when you think about setting goals. Alan, introduce the topic a little bit more fully before I start to jump in here.
Goal setting.
I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Man, we should not be in the same room.
This week on goal setting.
This week, yeah. Oftentimes, here's what made me think of it. Is recently, I decided to lose some weight.
Yeah, he was a little bit chunky.
I was tipping the scales. And a few months ago, especially eating in Germany.
What's that?
Yeah. We got a Skype. I don't know what that. Skip it. Different Adam. In Germany, okay, I'll try to make this a really long story.
Yeah, they like donuts.
Everybody loves to cook cake. And then you go to their house for coffee, and they have cake. And so, you know, I put on a couple LBs. And as I'm prone to do, and so I was talking to, this is a true story.
KGs.
Yeah, over there it is KGs. Good call.
Yeah.
Fortunately, I put on less KGs than LBs. If you do the translation. Anyways, I was talking to Adam off the air one time, and I was talking about some fitness stuff because he's a massage therapist or whatever he is. Whatever you do. And,
I'm not a massage therapist. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are you saying that?
I think there's a connotation that you're using. I can hear it in the undertone of your voice.
Probably because you're sexist. Yeah.
No, I'm a physiotherapist.
He's a physiotherapist.
Very manly profession.
But I was asking about fitness stuff and you know, like, what about this? And what about specific exercise for this? You know, because I wanted to maybe lose some weight. And
you pulled your groin reaching for the Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, we don't have those. I just basically was talking about fitness stuff, and your fitness advice to me, word for word, was lose 20 pounds, fat ass.
I don't think it was.
That was your expert
It sounds
opinion.
Like something I might say, but I don't think I said it.
Yeah, okay, so you know what I did? I lost 20 pounds.
Well, there you go.
Turns out I needed to lose 30, but, you know, I'm working on it. But how did I do that? Now, Don, you're a fit guy, so you probably don't ever have to deal with this, right?
I'm a little bit too skinny sometimes. I could think about adding on a couple of pounds. That could be a goal.
Awesome.
How did we get here on your long, like, what was the point of that story again?
Well, the point of this was, is in the past, like, you know, like, oftentimes when people want to lose weight, they basically say to themselves, oh, my New Year's resolution this year, I'm going to eat better and exercise more. The end. And nothing ever happens.
Right.
So what I did was I decided, you know what, I'm actually going to figure out what it takes to lose weight. And what does that mean? So I had to figure out specifically how many calories a human being burns in a day just by living their life. Answer?
I'm not going to answer.
Why?
Well, I don't have the number on the...
Well, it's like roughly 2,000.
Yeah, between 2,000 and 2,500.
So just call it 2,000 calories. That's what you're going to burn off. So you now have to create a caloric deficit in order to lose weight. This very specific number.
Are you going to keep going into this?
I just asked you, Alan, about setting goals. And this is really going...
way out there. Bring us back.
Okay, but these are goals. I'm saying that you find out what these goals are. Rather than eat well, exercise more, I decided to figure out how many calories specifically.
Well, now you're getting angry.
Yeah. And now that burns calories, as we know.
Okay.
And so it turns out if you create a caloric deficit of 500 calories a day,
mm-hmm.
over the course of a week, that's 3,500 calories, you will lose...
1 pound.
1 pound. There you go. So now you set a goal. I'm going to lose 1 pound a week.
You should be a dietary counselor.
Yeah, that's all. These are all basic.
You've got the passion for it. That's
that you can find it. Really, it's not so much passion. It's just I can't stand Adam. Why don't you look the other way for the rest of this episode? Just stare, not in the mirror. Just look over that way. I don't want to look at you anymore. So it turns out if you want to lose a pound a week, there are specific things that you can do rather than just vaguely say, hey, I'll eat better. Okay? So that's something that you can do. So create that deficit.
Okay,
so that
my first goal... is you finish the story quickly.
Oh, it's hilarious. You know, that comment should be a show on NBC. You could probably do 26 eps on that. Awesome. So
he's really mad right now.
All I did was I'd found out how to drop 250 calories a day and burn 250 more. Bing. Now I look like Brad Pitt. Okay, the end.
See, that's really all you wanted to say.
Yeah.
You could have just skipped to that.
Well, no, you got to lead in. Otherwise, it sounds like bragging. Okay, so, but that's all you have to do is set some very specific goals, and it turns out it wasn't that hard. Now, the reason I wanted to have Don on the show when we talked about this is because I wanted him to know I look like Brad Pitt. No, is that because if you watch, you see Don shows up everywhere. Don, you shoot, you're a regular contributor to Outdoor Photography Canada.
That's right.
Did you do that by saying, hey, I'm going to try to make my presence known? Or did you set specific goals and then follow through with them?
Well, I'll tell you about that. I started in on Outdoor Photography Canada with an article on snowflakes that I had in the winter issue from last winter. And I wrote the article, I think, in February of the prior year,
mm-hmm.
and submitted it in March, I think. And then I kept... emailing the editor every 3 weeks or so saying, hey, have you had a chance to look at it? Here's some more support material. I really, really like you to give me some feedback on that. And eventually he did. And he was quite impressed with the images and the writing. And later on, it was granted a cover shot. But I had to keep sort of on top of things and keep forcing that through and until I got a proper answer. But when I'm dealing with my photographs, like this past week, I had to tell myself, okay, well, I'm going to stay up because I want to take specifically this time-lapse video, or I wanted to get up at, you know, 6 a.m. to capture a sunrise shot. And I had to look, okay, well, exactly where is the sun going to come up, and how do I position myself to, say, have this little island in the foreground, you know, in front of the sun. And so there's a certain amount of planning and specificity when I'm taking some of these photographs. I sort of pre-visualized the image that I had, that I wanted to create. And then I planned that. I set out my specific angle, the specific time that I wanted to go out and take that image. And with that's exactly the image that I ended up with. If I had said, okay, well, I'm just going to get up at some point in the morning and see what's there, I probably wouldn't have gotten anything useful. So being a little bit more specific when you're thinking about the images that you want to make can be huge. One of my most popular photographs is a series of maple leaves laid out in the shape of the Canada flag. And that image took 4 months to produce because I had to take the leaves in the fall and iron them between wax paper to preserve them, about the only thing that I learned out of kindergarten. And then take them and lay them out on a fresh bed of snow sometime in January. So setting a goal to make that image was the only way it could happen.
Right.
And like when I'm taking my photography and trying to be more successful, like in a business and as a professional photographer, I constantly send out emails to different publications or to different groups. And, you know, a lot of times I never hear back. But I've got to sort of make very specific requests or very specific efforts in order to get certain places. And sometimes it works. And those are the images that have the greatest success are the ones that I pre-plan.
So how long have you been sort of setting these goals for yourself? Like, do you set goals like I'm going to get in touch with X number of publications a year, or I'm going to be on X number of podcasts, or whatever it is that you do?
I don't set a specific number, no, but I try to hit as many as I can. And well, like when I was first, like my education is in advertising. And I was working for about a year at an advertising agency and really didn't enjoy it, desk job, that kind of stuff. And I the first goal that I ever set for myself was every single day, regardless of how little or whatever, just do something photography related, whether it's researching a new type of, a new technique or a new type of lens or hardware or software, whatever it happens to be, do something photography related, experiment with some new ideas. And that's how I took my first Star Trail photographs. Is I had been working about a 12-hour day, and then I took off at night because I wanted to try something new that I learned the day before. Always learning and setting a goal to just constantly expand that knowledge. And hopefully, if any of the listeners on this podcast are still listening by this point, then that's a goal that they've probably set for themselves.
This episode is Comic Gold, Don. Everybody's still listening.
Yeah. All right,
including me.
Yeah, that's our barometer.
I think that's a first for podcasts I've been on.
Yeah, no, still attentive,
still involved.
Yeah,
Adam, what about yourself? When you were learning to take pictures, when you bought your first DSLR and knew very very little, did you set any specific goals, or was it just run out there and figure it out?
I don't know that I had a very specific goal in mind. I think I was extremely interested. So it was never, I don't think in my mind defined as Don put it, learn something different or photography related and every day. But I'm pretty sure that's kind of what happened, just because I was interested and I'm kind of a geek. And so I did a lot of the things he was talking about. I was on the computer trying to learn about lenses and again, all the basics, you know, learning about aperture and shutter speed and ISO and, you know, taking all of the different features that my camera could do and trying to amalgamate those together in my head. So I knew what I was doing. So I spent hours upon hours just fiddling around, but I don't ever think I had a specific goal other than, you know, just trying to figure out how it all kind of got put together.
Other than a jackass driving you and setting your goals for you.
Yeah. 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 And that's true. You did give me some certain specific things to work towards, but
every week.
Yeah. I never, and that's part of doing the podcast is that was actually, something that happened with the podcast. But even before that, I think you were dropping, you know, different hints in terms of, okay, here's something gear wise you might want to check out or try. And so it always kept me interested. There was always something else that you threw out there.
So for setting photography goals for our listeners, this is what I recommend is, first of all, bite off small chunks. Don't look back and say, you know what, in my New Year's resolution is going to be, I'm going to get better at taking photos, because that doesn't mean anything. Okay. That's very so be specific. And rather than mouth off about this, about me just telling you to set goals and giving no specific examples, I'm about to give some very specific examples of how to set goals.
Okay.
Okay. First one I recommend for everybody, and it sort of ties in with the order we did the show from episode 2, because episode 1 was just us playing grab ass, introducing ourselves.
Right.
But we started off with ISO.
Yep.
So one specific goal for somebody is to better understand ISO. What does it do? What is ISO? What are all the ramifications? Because we can explain it till we're blue in the face, until you have a physical understanding of what it does and why it can help you, then you're going to be lost. It's kind of an abstract concept. So here's what I suggest. Set your camera to manual exposure one day. set your lens to F8. Why F8? Just in the middle. Set your exposure to 1/250th of a second. And only the only thing that you adjust that day is ISO. Set your white balance to automatic, I don't care. And just walk around and take pictures, and all you're doing is ramping the ISO up and down. Try it at night, try it in the daytime. Find out what happens. What ISO works in the daytime, what works at night, what works in shadows. Are there certain times where you cannot get an image because it's too dark? That sort of thing. That's one recommendation.
And to do that whole process, not expecting to get a good image at the end of it. And that's the key, because it's a learning process and you're gaining knowledge from that, not necessarily a good photograph.
Absolutely. I highly recommend going out there expecting to fail and possibly getting some good images. But what you're going to do is you're going to fully understand ISO without worrying about any of the other variables. Now, decide to get better at f-stops. I was going to say aperture, but that gets confusing because of the computer program. Get better at the f-stop. What f-stop do I use in what situation? Do the same thing as we did with ISO. Go out and shoot all day and just focus on f-stop. Set your camera to 400 ISO. Set it to, again, 1/250th is a nice round number. And then just ramp the aperture up and down. Look how it affects your exposure. Look how it affects your depth of field. Get to know it better.
And a goal that I've just recently set for myself, not on a technical perspective, but I need to add more people to some of my landscape shots to help them tell stories a little bit better. So that's a current goal that I have, and I'm going to be working towards that over the next few weeks. And it's always just keeping something in your mind about when you're out there trying to, even if I put myself in some of those pictures, which I wouldn't have thought of before. Mm-hmm. But now that I've got this goal in mind, I'm going to think about that twice, because I'll take that picture and it's probably going to be missing something. It's probably missing a person. And now I'm going to, you know, think twice about how I can, you know, add a person or add myself into a photograph. And just keep on giving yourself specific goals, regardless of if it's technical or compositional. But just think of something specific and hammer that home.
One other one that I wanted to tie in, and it's all part of the exposure triangle, is understand shutter speed.
Yes.
Get out there and do exactly the same thing that we mentioned in the first two examples, but leave everything the same except for your shutter speed and watch what happens. Shoot cars that are moving past and watch what happens.
Waterfalls too.
Shoot waterfalls. Shoot at night. Find out what happens when you're inside, and all of a sudden, do handheld, put it on a tripod, do whatever you want to do, but just watch how shutter speed makes a difference. And just do that for the day, and don't distract yourself with anything else. So those are three very specific examples. Now, as Don mentioned, you want to be very specific with yourself. Maybe you have a great understanding of just you fully understand the whole concept of the exposure triangle, but you're having an issue with composition. Focus on that and give yourself a timeline. Okay, that's what's important, is to say, you know what, I'm going to learn that next year. Say in the next week, I'm going to nail this. Between now and the next Tuesday, I'm going to fully understand this and do what it takes. You know, and you might not always meet those deadlines, but you know, it's okay. Can't believe I just said that, like I'm some like Stuart Smalley.
Yeah. And I was going to say a tangible goal and an easy one to sort of keep track of is participate in the photo challenge every week, even if it's whatever episode people are listening to. So if they're on episode 46, because we get emails and people saying, oh, I'm, you know, on episode 36 and I'm trying to get caught up with the photo challenge. I mean, it's one picture a week, and it doesn't even have to be fantastic, but it gives you,
as we've shown
we've tried to demonstrate that, but it gives you a very easily measured goal, because in my educational background, goals need to be measurable. You need to, it can't be black or white. Either you understand it or don't. You have to give yourself something that's easily measured. And so, you know, you took the photo challenge picture, you either took it or you didn't, right?
Right.
And so it's something that you can keep up with, and it gives you sort of a direction to go.
Now, speaking of that, we had a request a while ago, been very busy, for someone asked us, I forget who it was, Andrew, if it's Andrew, there you go, Andrew. He asked me to put a list of all the photo challenges up
right
on the website so that people can get caught up, because there's some people who actually want to go back and reshoot them all. So I will do that. I'm halfway done the list. I'll get it up. And when that happens, please feel free to shoot them and post them on our Flickr or what, you know, share them with us so that we can see them. We'd be happy to comment on them. We'll be a lot nicer than we are to each other.
And I think that in terms of, and again, I can't say the way I learn is the same as the way everyone else learns, but I think for me, in terms of processing what we talk about, because we talk, and again, some people learn a lot from talk, but I think everybody to some degree has to do in order to really cement that understanding. And so, you know, it's one thing for us to talk about doing that panorama, but when I actually went out and took all the pictures and kind of tried to figure out, okay, well, where's the exposure got to be and how many pictures am I going to need to take? And then how much processing time does this take afterwards? Is this feasible for me to do? You know, I have to do all that. And then I say, yeah, this is something that I would do regularly. And I think participating in the photo challenge gives you kind of sort of creative incentive.
Mm-hmm. Another goal that I set recently and have kept up on was to get my arms around my digital bloat. I dealt with the other stuff earlier, like we talked about, the actual bloat. But now with the digital bloat, with the, you know how you take, you know, a couple hundred pictures a day and then I'll edit them later. And guess what? You never do. So I sat down and went through all my old photos and just cut all the ones out that I didn't need. And now I set my goal to deal with them immediately. So I come home, I load the pictures. Within a day or two, I set 48 hours as the deadline. I have to go through those pictures and weed out the ones I know I'm going to delete. And I've stayed on top of all my photos because of that.
How long do you figure until you give up on that goal?
I'm really enjoying it. It's been going for probably 6 months solid, and it's been very successful. Like I can't tell you how much difference it's made to my photography. Like moving forward, it actually reminds me to shoot less, to be better at getting it right. That's kind of what we talked about in the film episode a while ago, is when you you're shooting film and then have to then process it and scan it, which Adam didn't even have to do the scanning part. P.S. That's not fun. But when you have to do all that, you take your time to make the exposure and then process it. You're very, very careful with what you shoot. Now, if you kind of remind yourself constantly, I'm going to have to deal with this on the computer. And even though, yeah, you might do it with the radio on or your favorite podcast, twohosers.com, it's still work. And I still don't look forward to doing it. So I shoot less and I edit quicker.
I can't remember the last time when I had a 36 frame roll of film and I finished it all and I threw another one in. Because when I'm shooting film, it's so much slower, more deliberate. And I find that I'm like, I don't even want to finish the roll because I feel like I've exhausted my creativity with a lot fewer images. And partly because I don't want to deal with all the work that comes after it. And again, digital makes you lazy. You don't have to do some of that. And then you just don't even care about those images. And then it hurts your creativity down the road.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, that's another good goal, too, is try to slow yourself down and try, as silly as it sounds, not to take fewer images, but to take fewer useless images.
Absolutely. And hoping that you're going to get something good. But again, be specific. Say, okay, last time I shot 100 photos out, you know, in a day, I'm going to shoot 75 or whatever it is. So I'm going to put this out there. Anybody listening who wants to share their specific goals that they're going to work on, send it in to the email questions@twohosers, share it via Twitter, share it via the Google Plus. That's what it's called, right? Google Plus.
Yeah, the Google Plus.
That's... Google Plus. Post it on our website in the comment section. However you want to share it, feel free to share it. We'd love to hear what goals you're going to set for yourself. Even if it's a goal is to listen to more podcasts, start with this one.
Yes.
Preaching to the choir.
Yes.
Well, I think my next goal is to get out of Adam's house.
Oh, telephone. No, that's your dad calling.
That's my wife telling me.
Past your curfew.
You're done. Hey, one ring, your wife got it.
Yeah, she knows.
That's just good podcast recording. Yeah, maybe she can give me a ride somewhere. Call back to when she drove earlier.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Would you chirp her the way you're chirping me tonight?
Yeah, she's a good sport.
Yeah.
So, there's that. Plus, she's bigger than me. So, next week's challenge. I got one.
Okay.
City life.
Great. Superb.
Okay. Next week's challenge, sour attitudes. Huh? Right up your alley.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. City life. It's going to be city life.
City life and sexist drivers.
All right, Don.
All right. If you can combine city life, sexist drivers, and sour attitudes in one image.
Oh, that sounds like a challenge.
It's a trifecta. We call it the trifecta. That's a hat trick right there. So, no, next week, city life, the end. So, until next week, Don, where can people find your stuff?
Great place is doncom.ca, and that's where you'll find a lot of my images, links to Google Plus and Twitter and all the other places where I am online.
Wait, so and, say that again. I got very confused. Great places?
Yeah. It's called... There's a few.
No, but... Oh! Sorry, I thought the way you said it was like greatplaces.doncom.com.
No. Just go to doncom.ca. Okay. And you'll find everything there. Now, if you want to find me in print, check out Outdoor Photography Canada, and I do the Beginner Basics column in every issue of that as well. I think the last issue is free or cheap things to add to your camera bag, so that's okay. Definitely worth a read.
Even if you don't give a hang about Dawn, check out that magazine.
Okay.
It's a good magazine. No, I like that. I don't like very many photo magazines. I find most of them are ads. That one, we talked about it before. It's really good. They do a really good job. It's really specific because we use that word a lot today. So I can you get the listeners like a phone-in discount thing or something?
I might be able to do that actually. All right. I might be able to get a certain percentage off on that. I'll talk to the editor and see if I can work something out for you.
I told you he knows the editor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it J. Jonah Jameson?
Maybe.
No.
Ah, it'd be awesome if it was. I love Superman. So Adam.
This is Spider-Man.
Adam, never correct me on the air.
SchwartzChronicles.com.
Great. We all look forward to that.
Yes.
And myself, AlanAttridge.com. But all of this can be found at TwoHosers.com, where you can find everything you want to know about the Twitter and all that stuff that you can send in your goals. So check that out, TwoHosers.com. Until next week, for Don and Adam, get out there and make better photos.